What's up, everyone? I'm Joe Pompliano, and this is the Joe Pomp Show. Hope everyone's having a great week so far, enjoying the start of March Madness. A quick programming note, this episode was initially supposed to come out yesterday, but it's coming out today because I'm stupid, and during the middle of the recording yesterday, the microphone became unplugged and the audio got all messed up. But that's neither here nor there. We'll do an episode today, and then I'll have another one for you later this weekend. Today, we're going to be talking about the business behind March Madness, and then we're also going to go over a few different things, like LeBron's new podcast, the Arizona Cardinals' end zone villas, and the NBA's recent decision to add in-game betting to broadcast. Hope you guys enjoy this episode, and let's get right into it. All right, let's start with the hurry-up. These are things that I'm thinking, hearing, and watching. Number one, LeBron James's new podcast. LeBron is launching a podcast with J.J. Redick, teaming up to launch this podcast that exclusively discusses basketball strategy. I know. The last thing we need is another podcast. Still, I am interested in seeing how this podcast performs for one main reason. It's different. The trailer, for instance, includes LeBron and JJ breaking down complex inbounds plays while drinking a bottle of wine in a way that probably sounds like a foreign language to most sports fans, including myself. It was pretty difficult to follow because there was no whiteboard or graphic overlay, and they certainly aren't casting the widest net when it comes to the total addressable audience. But the visuals will get better over time. We're talking about LeBron here. There's obviously going to be an audience, and this is going to serve as a fascinating case study between two very different ends of the content spectrum. On one side, we have athlete-driven content that focuses exclusively on the X's and O's. And on the other side, we have network-driven content that continuously plays the same hits over and over and over again. I'm talking about NFL debates, NBA debates, Dallas Cowboys, LA Lakers, GOAT debates in basketball and football and other things like that. It's the same stuff over and over again. Many people have been asking more of the former, the athlete-driven content that focuses exclusively on the X and O's, and less of the latter, playing the same hits. Now, we'll see if they actually want it. I checked in on the first episode before recording this podcast, and it already has over 1 million views, and the channel on YouTube has, I think, 250,000 subscribers it was, so obviously it's going to be popular. Let's see what the staying power is and how much people really want to talk about the X's and O's behind basketball. Number two. The Arizona Cardinals announced this week that they're doing a stadium renovation project this summer that will be ready for 2024. Most of the updates are pretty standard. We're talking about field-level boxes and an exclusive club with elevated food and drinks. But the one thing that really caught my eye was these two-story private villas being added to the south end zone. They come with 20 tickets, valet parking, VIP entrances, and unlimited food and beverage. And it's not the first time that we've seen an NFL team add luxury seating directly behind an end zone. The best example I can think of is the Wynn Field Club at Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas. I mean, they literally have a DJ booth and table service and drinks and everything else right there behind the end zone. Still, many fans were understandably upset about this announcement. The Cardinals had to remove 1,200 general purpose seats to make this happen. The tickets will be unaffordable for the average fan. And it's the latest example of U.S. sports teams pricing out their core audience in favor of out-of-town travelers and corporate expense accounts. This is especially bad when you consider the Cardinals recently ranked in the bottom five of all NFL teams for their player cafeteria, locker room, and weight room, according to the 2024 NFLPA Annual Franchise Report Card. All right, number three is the NBA. The NBA announced this week that they're adding live betting lines on NBA League Pass. So directly in the broadcast, viewers will be able to track betting odds as they watch the games in the app, choose which bet they want to place, and then be transferred directly to FanDuel or DraftKings to place the bet. I posted about this on Twitter, and man, did it go viral because everyone was quote tweeting it, talking about how upset they were and how this is terrible for sports and everything along those lines. Now, don't get me wrong. This feels like a natural extension and something that every league will eventually do in the future. But I agree, and I also can't help but think about the negative long-term consequences. Having the ability to bet is good. Legalized sports betting is really good, in my opinion. It does two things. One, it allows people to place bets that they want to place. But number two, it's better to funnel people that are going to bet into legal operations that are regulated rather than letting them do it with illegal bookmakers. But there is literally no regulation when it comes to advertising, it seems. And sports fans today see gambling ads everywhere they go, from podcasts and TV shows to team jerseys and now in-game broadcasts. Sports leagues across the U.S. continue to go all in on gambling despite watching their European counterparts try to reverse the trend after it got out of hand. And one has to wonder, at what point will this be considered greedy, with sports teams and leagues trying to add net new gambling revenue to their balance sheets because ticket prices and media rights can only increase so much?
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
All right, let's get into March Madness this year. Now, we've seen a transformation of college football specifically over the last few years. Think conference realignment and NIL free-for-all. This has led many people to claim that the NCAA is, and I quote, dead. The thought process behind that argument is that federal judges have already stopped the member-led organization from enforcing NIL rules, and the biggest conferences in college football, the SEC and Big Ten, hold all the power via multi-billion dollar media rights deals. The problem with that, though, is that this notion largely ignores reality. The NCAA represents more than just the biggest football schools, including over 1,000 colleges and universities, more than 100 conferences, and over 500,000 student athletes. The NCAA, in fact, barely makes any money on football either, with 70% of the organization's revenue coming from one specific event, the NCAA Men's College Basketball Tournament. For instance, the current March Madness TV deal includes a $900 million annual payment from CBS and Warner Brothers Discovery for the men's tournament only. That represents 70% of the NCAA's $1.3 billion in revenue last year. These television networks are completely comfortable paying $10.8 billion over 14 years because they are charging brands $200,000 for 30-second ads during the tournament's worst games and $2 million for commercials during the championship game, amounting to more than $1 billion in booked ad revenue before the tournament even begins. So yes, the NCAA has weakened over the last few years. Federal judges overruling their authority has complicated things, and the college sports landscape might look very different in the future. But it's also important to remember that the NCAA represents much more than just high-level college football. And there isn't a better example of that than the multi-billion dollar March Madness tournament. Instead, the real story this year should be the rise in value of the women's tournament. We've seen a shift over the last few years. Men's college basketball has weakened because there are fewer stars due to the increasing availability of options and the oversupply of overseas talent. However, the opposite is true for the women's game. Caitlin Clark gets all the headlines, but there are several other players too, like Juju Watkins at USC, Cameron Brink at Stanford, Paige Buchers at UConn, and Angel Reese at LSU. These players have become increasingly famous on social media, and women's college basketball games are now routinely getting millions of viewers. Just look at last year's tournament, for example. The Sweet 16 had 1.2 million average viewers. That was an ESPN record and a 73% increase from the year before. Then the Elite Eight had 2.2 million viewers, another ESPN record and a 43% increase from 2022. And then we go to the Final Four, those games in the semifinal, averaged 4.5 million viewers, a 68% increase from 2022. And then the championship game, what a game that was. It almost averaged 10 million viewers, another ESPN record, and a 100% increase from the year prior. This has led many people to compare the women's tournament to the men's. Personally, I've seen a bunch of comparisons, mainly ticket prices over the last few days, and there's even this ongoing debate among industry insiders as to whether this year's women's national championship could potentially attract more viewers than the men's. The main idea is that the men only averaged 4 million more viewers last year, and this year's women's final is on broadcast television on ABC, while the men's final is on cable. On TBS. That certainly makes a big difference. And obviously, if Iowa and Caitlin Clark were to get to the game against someone like USC, that would be huge as well. That feels kind of like a fool's errand, though. The men's tournament is still much bigger than the women's if you look at the numbers. And the only reason ticket prices are even close is because there's a fundamental supply and demand imbalance. For example, the men are playing in an NFL stadium with 60,000 seats, while the women are in an NBA arena with 20,000 seats. But that's also why we need to just appreciate the women's game for what it has become. The sport has made tremendous strides over the last few years, including a new TV deal worth $65 million annually. That's two times bigger than the combined rate that ESPN was paying on its previous deal for the rights to 29 different NCAA championships. Fans are now lining up hours before games to get autographs. ESPN has assigned Holly Rowe to cover Caitlin Clark exclusively during the tournament after she helped set viewership records on seven different TV networks this year. And while women's college basketball still draws fewer fans than the men's on a nightly basis, the fact that we're even having these conversations is a huge step forward for the sport. That's it for today, everyone. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, please leave me a five-star review on whatever platform you're listening to this podcast on. Tell me what you're enjoying and what I can be doing better. Other than that, enjoy the first week of March Madness. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk later this week.
Te presentamos a Alex. Ella acaba de descubrir el centro de visión de Walmart.
Ahora hago mis diligencias en un solo lugar.
¿Compras? ¿Lentes?
Walmart.
¿Decoraciones?
Walmart. Y lo mejor es que aceptan la mayoría de seguros, así que ahorro tiempo y dinero.
Bienvenido a un cuidado de visión más fácil. Bienvenido a tu Walmart. Se aplican restricciones. Visita walmart.com para más detalles.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.